Welcome back. We have more candidates for seat B, and we're going to start with William P.H. Nye.
Howdy, I'm William Nye. I have a background that's particularly suited to the school board. You need someone who's been everywhere, done everything, who's not just one person. You need a budget specialist. You need someone who knows their schools. You need an educator. You look at the current composition of the board, we don't have any educators. We don't have any teachers. We don't have people who spend time in the classroom. That's why I threw my hat in the ring. I attended four different universities and worked a myriad of jobs in the workforce. Currently, I work on the Alaska Railroad during the summer. So everyone's talking about vocational education, and I'm the one who's doing it, and I understand it. I've completed part of the Master's in Arts Teaching program at UAA and hold a secondary certification in social studies. So I spend my days teaching your children, mostly 7th through 12th graders, English and social studies. I'm different than the other candidates out there because I'm a sub. I'm in our schools. I've seen what's working, what's not, what the district needs, what buildings are in good repair, what buildings aren't. I'm probably one of the youngest candidates running, too. I wasn't that long ago that I was in school, and I remember that experience very well. I have no kids. Every child in the district is my child. I go to every school, and I love them all equally. I'll never favor one district over another. I know a lot of people watching tonight are union members. I'm a member of the United Transportation Union. I'm a big believer in unions. I'm sorry that many people in this culture or this country have taken an antagonistic stance towards unions. We need to make sure that the unions and the district work together so that everyone comes out ahead. If I was elected, we would change the priorities in this district, or at least I would attempt to. We've had some skewed priorities in this district towards big, beautiful buildings instead of quality classrooms. You look at schools like Bagich, which are amazing, but the teachers can't teach. The redesign of Romig is another problem. The projected school size of Romig is going to be astronomical. There's just too many kids. And this is what Mrs. Como and the board has been doing, is we're getting bigger, more beautiful schools, and classroom quality is suffering because of that. So I'm the guy who's going to change, make a big difference.
Thank you very much. Len Anderson.
Following up on your brakeman experience, and the district has been very interested in vocational and technical training. I think they've got Martin Luther King now on three shifts, kind of a reversal of the abandonment of shop class in the high school. They're now returning. But those vocational and technical classes cost more money than perhaps teaching history and English and social studies, where you have books and other such things, or computers now. Where's that money going to come from?
Well, honestly, the first building block of a vocational or voc tech education is reading and writing. When I applied at the railroad, the first thing they do is they interview you. And then if you pass the interview, they give you like an SAT-style reading and writing test. And that flunks half the applicants. So if we want our students to get a good union job, to get a good job in the labor force, they're going to have to be able to read and write. So that's step one. I know it's not quite the answer to your question, but that's where we need to focus right away. The real answer to your question is school business partnerships. We need to encourage businesses in the community to come in, to set up shop, to have internships, to get students out and see how it goes on, to partner with people who are already working doing these jobs, plumbers, steam fitters, drivers, these sorts of things. And that's how we can pay for it.
Okay, thank you very much. Are we spending too much on pupil transportation? And if so, how would you change things?
That's a wonderful question. I was interviewed by someone from People Mover the other day, and their student goes to a charter school. And they were wondering, well, if you were elected, how would you help my student get to school? And I said, well, we could save the district money, and we could provide more transportation, and we can improve the city if we got rid of most of our school bus routes. Many, many big cities do this. They use public transportation. Let's take the drivers. Let's take the funding that we're using, the shops that we're using for school buses, and give it to the city. And let's expand our public transportation. The students would benefit. Non-students would benefit. And those who would like to send their child to a charter school wouldn't have to worry about transportation. It gives everybody an equal opportunity, not just the rich.
Len Anderson.
Intrigued with the shiny baggage illusion.
Okay.
So, how do you feel about the two bond propositions with the school district?
Well,
what is going to shinier schools?
I bring up Bagich. It's not totally fair because Bagich has a lot of low-income families, and that's always going to be difficult. But it seems to me that they could have made Bagich a little less shiny and hired more teachers to have lower class sizes. Or we could transfer teachers from a school that's performing admirably and for the low-income districts. they could have larger or smaller class sizes with more teachers. The bond propositions, it's maintenance. It's not building new shiny schools. It's things that are falling apart. So I support the bond propositions. You look at these pictures of service, and I've been in service, and things are falling apart. You need to maintain what you've invested in. It's the smart and responsible thing to do.
Okay. My turn to ask a question. Is the dropout rate in Anchorage unacceptably high?
Absolutely.
And what are you going to do about it?
Well, lots of us have said it, and I've mentioned it a couple of times too. Class sizes are key. They had a survey, and they said that one of the reasons that students are dropping out is they feel lost. And a student gets lost in a large class size. I've taught at schools where the kids don't know their neighbors' names. Why is that? If you sit next to Susie every day for 6 weeks, you should learn Susie's name. These kids are totally alienated. We need to make them feel at home. We need to make this a place they want to be. So you can teach, you can fix this with lower class sizes. Is one way you improve the drop, or you lessen the dropout rate. Another way to fix it is you target certain students earlier on, the students that are having the most difficulty, because we all know that if a student fails in first, second grade, they're more likely to keep failing in third and fourth and fifth and onward and onward. So we need to focus early on, and that's why I support expanding pre-K education in this town. The more opportunities we have for that, I think the higher our graduation rate is going to be.
Thank you. Lynn Anderson.
One of the hardest things, I think, for an educator to do, particularly in the classroom, if they ascend to the board, is all of a sudden perhaps be faced by a troublesome economy and having to make cuts. From your travels around the district in various schools and everything, from your perspective, where would you slice?
I haven't heard a single teacher tell me that the school district's administration is too small. I haven't heard a single teacher tell me that the curriculum specialists are too few and that they're doing too good of a job. It's almost unanimous that our administration is top-heavy, somebody needs to go, and that these curriculum specialists, while it's good that we have a standard curriculum for transient students, there's too many of them. And there's just too many specialists that aren't letting teachers do their job, and there's money that we could be spending elsewhere. That's one place you can make cuts. You've seen these commercials about city services and school services, and that is another example. If we could combine city services and school services to save money, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I have to interrupt you to go to your final statement, please.
Okay. My name is William Nye. I'm running for seat B. You have a myriad of candidates to choose from. It's heartwarming that so many people have chosen to run. What makes me different is that I'm not a politician. I haven't spent $20,000 on this race like other people out there. I just care about our students. I spend every day with our students talking to our teachers. If you want someone who cares, who's got ideas, who wants to change things and make this district better, I'm the guy to vote for. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. David Boyle, 1 minute opening.
Good evening. I am David Boyle, and I want to thank KAKM for hosting this forum to inform the public. I'm running for the school board because I believe education is one of the foundation blocks of this country and our community. Our education system has to be second to none for our youth to compete in today's global environment. I'm ready and willing to ask the tough questions and hold the district accountable in getting the absolute best education for our youth. I will work to ensure dollars are used to increase student achievement and lower the dropout rate. I'll work to increase student engagement and parental involvement. I'll work to increase discipline in our schools and see that these policies are actually carried out. I'll work to increase vocational ed opportunities beginning in late middle school. I have the skill set to include budgeting, auditing, project management, and contract management, which are necessary to be an active member of the school board. The bottom line, I will work for you, work for our youth and our community to ensure all students have the opportunity to succeed.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to Lynn Anderson of KSKA.
When you work for the goal of having our students able to compete when they graduate, where do you see their greatest weaknesses now overall?
Well, the greatest weakness I believe that we have in the school district has to do with the dropout rate, those students that actually never even get a high school diploma. We have to actively engage these students. We have to identify why they are dropping out. Some are being pushed out by, quote, administration because they're troublemakers. Others drop out because they can't relate what they're learning in the classroom to their future life after school. Others have life crises such as pregnancy and are dropping out. We have to work on these students to improve the graduation rate and to ensure that they can compete in our global environment. Other students, we have wonderful programs in this community here. For example, the AP program. Boy, I wish I'd have been there when they had that. It's a great program, and some of these students, you know, finish a year and a half of college before they graduate from high school. But the basic skills, reading, mathematics, civics, interpersonal relations, and technology, that will ensure that our students get the best education possible and can compete tomorrow.
Okay, my turn to ask a question. Do you think parents, generally speaking, are adequately involved in their children's education here in Anchorage?
Well, I'll have to say a yes and a no. I think the ones that are actively engaged, that's reflected in probably the students being successfully engaged in the classroom and learning. We have a lot of cultural / social value problems in our community, as is the case all across this country today. And I believe that is probably one of the root causes of our problems in education across this country, and specifically here in Anchorage. I don't know the solution for those problems, but if we can just get the student engaged, I think we have we're working towards a solution in that regard. But to get the parents involved, I would like to see the school district, for one thing, put homework assignments on the web. Every teacher should be required every day to put a homework assignment on the web so the student can't go home and say, I don't have any homework tonight, Mom or Dad.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson, Len Anderson.
I'm sorry, I was remembering my dealings with my now adult children. In your opinion, is there a point where the money that's spent at those at-risk programs, at-risk student programs, where it starts to interfere with the average, above-average students who aren't at risk, but the funding for what they need is? And Carol Como has mentioned this sometimes in looking at the budgets of some of the alternative schools. Just where does this lie? Do you think that is a problem we're facing, and how can you tell?
Well, I don't think so. I think my daughter attended SAVE High School, and hadn't been for SAVE, she wouldn't have gotten a high school diploma. So she was actually saved. Otherwise, she probably would have been a high school dropout for many reasons that were beyond parents' control. I don't think it's very difficult to put a dollar figure on, but across the country, it's every high school dropout costs this country $1.2 million in gross domestic product. And 82% of the prison population are high school dropouts. So if you look at those statistics, I don't think any money we put at working on at-risk students is a waste of money. I think it's a fine investment. But once again, it comes down to the school board taking the limited finite resources and allocating them to the best possible effective use of them.
If I might ask, what is the, in your judgment, biggest weakness of the current board?
Well, my personal belief is that the weakness of the current board is I don't think they ask enough questions of the administration. I'm not sure because I'm not in on the, quote, the board meetings that they have before the actual board, public board meetings. But I would like to see them keep asking the question, why? And when an answer is given by the administration, ask another why. And follow that rabbit right down the hole to find out really the cause of problems and to ensure that our resources are being applied effectively. It's a very difficult job. It's a part-time job. I'm retired, and I'm willing to dedicate full-time to the job because I love looking at problems, finding the root cause of the problems, not just looking at the symptoms. So we need people with an analytical mind on the board and with backgrounds in actually auditing, et cetera.
Thank you, sir. Len Anderson.
Well, then going out into the community itself without the ability or the time to analyze exactly, what sort of criteria could the average person, particularly the property taxpayer, use to say, well, I'm getting my money's worth, or this could be better? How can you judge how effective a school district is?
Well, you can use the statistics, you know, like the 60% graduation rate and the high dropout rate, maybe to gauge how well the school district is doing. You can measure the quality of the graduates that we are producing and how well they do both in work life, in vocations, and in, of course, in college. That's the best way to measure. It's like a corporation. It's like AIG, and they're the board of directors, and you have a CEO, and you measure the return on your investment by the educational product that you actually produce.
So how would you say we're doing?
I would give us probably be about a B, right around a B grade. I don't think we're an A. I think we can do much better. I think we can take care of the students in the middle. I think they're their forgotten lot. I think they kind of are being warehoused and pushed through the system. I think we're doing well with the 20% in the lower portion of the curve, and the 20% in the top are doing very well. But that group in the middle, I think, are being warehoused, and I don't think the resources are being applied effectively to them, or the attention is given to them as well.
Your closing statement, please, Mr. Boyle.
Tonight you've heard from many candidates. I'm sure all of them have our students' best interest at heart, but that is not enough. I ask that you look at the substance and consider those skills necessary to be an active member of the school board. My goals are to focus on the core business of education, channel more dollars to the classroom, improve classroom discipline so teachers can teach, reduce the dropout rate with innovative student engagement processes such as tutor-scholar programs in Memphis, Tennessee. I am your full-time school board member. I would appreciate your vote. Thank you and good night.
Thank you very much, sir. Now let's turn to our last guest on this panel, last candidate, Nels Johnson. Your opening statement, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you very much. Thank you for hosting, and thank you for tuning in tonight. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm Nels C. Johnson. I'm running for school board seat B, and I really want to focus on a few things that I can bring to the board. Knowledge. I have education background. I had a teaching degree in physical education and a teaching minor in mathematics. I also have technology background. I worked in technology industry for a while, and I also got a Bachelor of Science degree in computer science. Currently, I'm working at Providence Hospital as a physical therapist. I received my doctorate degree at the University of Minnesota, and I still see myself as a teacher. I'm teaching our recoveries from surgery and illness how to get back up on their feet and get home safely. So I see myself as an educator, and I've always been an educator, and I also see myself as a student, and always being a student, willing to listen and collaborate and appreciate diversity of opinion, and I really value that here in Anchorage.
Just a clarification, your doctorate is in?
In physical therapy.
Physical therapy, okay,
yes.
Thank you. Let's go to Len Anderson.
If I'm correct, remembering your biography, didn't you also work in public schools in Australia and New Zealand?
Yes.
What did you learn that might help you in a sort of a comparison, contrast factor?
Yes. For Australia, I had an opportunity to do my student teaching in Australia in a small town on the southern coast. So in New Zealand, I was working with outdoor education, working with the public schools there. And what I learned, class sizes were quite a bit smaller. There was a lot more funding, though, available for public schools. So while I learned there was a lot that smaller class sizes can do, I also realized that some of those realities that work in other countries don't necessarily work here in the United States. So just being able to have a diversity of opinion, see how different school districts operate around the country, I feel like you can pick ideas of certain curriculum ideas and bring it to our country here. But as far as, you know, maybe the funding, I don't think I really saw anything that could be brought from those countries here.
Thank you very much. Is our budget too large, too small, or the proverbial just about right?
That's a tough question. I think it's too small, but I also realize that we're in an economic crisis, and we have to work with the resources that we have. I don't think raising taxes is a good idea right now, and I think we have to work with what we have to make things the most efficient that the school district can utilize. So, yeah, I think I would like to see more money, but at this time I realize that we have to work with what we have or even a little bit less.
Now we'll go back to Len Anderson.
So would that include voting no on the propositions?
No. I am voting yes on both propositions. And what I think makes the propositions something that we really can't afford to lose is the investment that the state's willing to put into these propositions and what our community has to shoulder versus what the state is able to shoulder. I'm voting yes for both propositions.
This is not an easy answer to summarize, but what should all high school students from the Anchorage high schools know when they leave here? What's the elemental, what should they know?
The element that I think all students need to know when they leave school is how to think critically. And I think it's critical thinking skills that's important. And I hear the arithmetic, reading and writing, those are important. And, you know, we have to build that as a foundation. But when you leave without critical thinking skills, then those foundations really don't lead to a whole lot of building beyond that.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Lynn Anderson.
So in that case, are we teaching too much to the No Child Left Behind, the annual yearly progress reports from the state that fill full-page content in the daily news afterwards? And then how do we balance what the feds say we got to do with creative thinking?
Yes. I believe, especially in Alaska, that the No Child Left Behind Act is difficult to apply to our state. And I really do believe that standardized testing doesn't really give us a lot of answers. And I hear too many times where people are teaching to the test. And teachers are under such extreme pressure to get grades to improve from one grade level to the next, to make sure that students are constantly improving on these standardized tests, that a lot of times critical thinking skills do have to go out the window and that they have to focus on actually teaching standardized tests. I think it can give us valuable information, but yeah, I believe that that's overrated, and I think we focus too much on those standardized tests right now.
You decided to run, and you outlined a little bit about what you'd like to achieve if elected, but was there any specific event or series of events that moved you, that made you feel that I should run for the school board?
Nothing specifically here in Anchorage made me think, well, I think I can do a much better job than the next guy. But it's just it's my history in education and my really firm belief that this is an investment in the future. And I really want to put my heart into this and serve passionately and, you know, see that our children are succeeding. I want to make Anchorage my home. I'm looking to buy a house here, so I also see how high property taxes are. I want to take that into account. Everybody here, you know, has an equal investment in our children's future. Whether you have children or not, they're out on the street, they're getting jobs, they're going to be leading our country after I retire. So this is an investment that I want to make. And that's the primary interest that I have in the school board.
Lynn Anderson.
How well do you think the average Anchorage citizen slash voter knows what's going on in the school district, its policies, funding, labor contracts, facility maintenance?
It's a very large district, and I think it's very difficult for citizens in this community to be abreast of all the issues in the school district. And I think communication with the public, whether you have children or not, is very important for school board members. I think the parents who are involved with their children's education probably do know a great deal of the condition of buildings and the educational process and bond propositions, but there's a lot of parents who don't have time to be that involved in their children's education due to having several jobs and a lot of other commitments that they have to undertake. So I think there's, you know, some in our community who are well-versed, but I think a majority probably just don't have the time or the energy to understand everything in this large district.
We're going to get caught here in the shortage of time. Why don't you go ahead and give us your final closing statement, please?
Okay. I'm running because I feel that I can do a good job serving this community. I have a genuine interest in education. I have a genuine interest in the future of this community. And that's the reason I'm running. I'm not running to push my own agenda. I'm not running for a stepping stone to the legislature or the Senate. I'm here because I'm honestly interested in serving the community, and I'm willing to collaborate with the entire community, whether you're a property owner without children, whether you have several children in the district, or whether you're a retiree. I really want to serve this community and make it a better place, and I think the school board is the place to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back with our final candidate for school board seat B and other panelists in just a minute.